Blog Talk Radio.
Are you driven by a passion to discover your divine destiny, ready to discover your purpose and fulfill your God-given potential? You can at Church on the Mall, the Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Sundays at 9 a.m. Rediscover the kingdom and discover your purpose, identity, and divine destiny. For more information, call 267-357-9816. The kingdom of God is now eternal, and it's your time. Don't miss your moment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will supply your needs. See you at Church on the Mall this Sunday at 9 a.m. The Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Cheltenham Avenue and Washington Lane. It's your time for change. For more information, call 267-357-9816.
This is Dr. Lynn Robinson, and I approve this message.
This message paid for by the faithful supporters of Kingdom Vision Ministries International, the Kingdom Church on the Mall. Live the kingdom-driven life now.
Uh-oh.
We got to go, and whether our life is going to be in danger or whether it's not going to be in danger, we got to go.
That's right.
We got to fulfill our assignment that God has given us. This is what we have to do. And like I said, it all comes to you. Are you going to hear that voice? Are you going to obey that voice? Even if you sense you want to walk away.
Amen.
Something to think about. More food for thought. Not to think about it. This morning.
Any questions, or have you been answering questions all morning?
I talk so much and try to be answering questions.
I know how that is. Okay, I can relate. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Comments? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Come on. Come on. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Well, glory. Why don't you all stand to your feet and greet one another, get acquainted with each other, tell everybody that you're glad that they're here. You know, walk around, move about a little bit, praise God. That's my sister friend, Stephanie Wills. Welcome this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, sir.
Hello, young lady. How are you?
Good. Bless you, sir.
Good.
Amen. You bring one of your books. I didn't think about it. When I walk in, I usually put pretend somebody's book. Hallelujah. There's a lot on my heart this morning. I mean, good stuff. Don't, you know, everybody like, no, but good stuff. Good stuff. God's moving.
Amen.
Yeah, God's moving. He's moving it. He's moving in regions where we're not always paying attention. Do you know part of Sunday is about God getting your attention where you can't move for about 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Everything you're going through all week long, if you respond to Sunday, that's God settling you down so that he can minister to you and touch you in areas where your busyness didn't allow you to hear from him. Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it. Praise God. Praise God. Because if you notice, when you come on Sunday, you start hearing stuff that will usually cue you in or connect you to what God wanted you to know and understand, in spite of what you thought you already knew. Have you noticed that? And oftentimes, he'll tell you stuff you don't want to hear. Yeah, he does. He'll tell you stuff that, well, Lord, I ain't need to hear that, praise God. I was just fine. I was cool just the way I was. You know, praise the Lord. Why you bring me in here today? But our Heavenly Father loves us. He has an everlasting love for us. His love knows no limitations. His love knows no boundaries in which he's hindered in his expression of love towards us. We got a problem, though. God wants to love us on his terms, but we want him to love us on our terms. Did you notice the difference? If I will allow God to love me on my terms, then God will do everything I ask him to do. Do you know that's the God that religion has taught? Yeah, he'll do everything you ask him to. The Lord shared something to me this morning as I was getting prepared to come here. He answers based on dealing with the condition of your heart and where he wants to bring you to, and not just meet your need. He answers based on the condition of your heart and where he wants to bring you to, and not just according to your need. Because ever so quickly I said to the Lord, why do people pray and things don't happen? We were talking about prayer this morning, and I don't call myself having started yet, but it certainly feels like it. But anyway, I asked him, why do people pray and things don't happen? He said there are times that he answers prayer, but based on the conditions of our heart and where he's leading us to be, and not necessarily based on what we're asking for. In other words, he's forever cultivating you to be the person he created you to be, and so while we want God to do for us what we want, it may not produce in us what he ordained. And so you got to learn the difference between what I want and what the Father is after. Everybody here's got needs. Anybody here don't have any needs? Raise your hand. And if you did, I was going to start casting the devil out just that quick. But everybody here got needs. And sometimes you'll question, why is God not answering my need? How about he's at times answering your greater need? Yeah, you understand? We know what we want. God knows what we need. And so while you may be asking him to answer something temporal, material, physical, he's working on preparing you to receive what you're asking for. You wanted what you were asking for yesterday. Pull into the Holy Ghost drive-thru. Give me a double Mac, quarter pound of cheese, whatever you might be asking for. And we want it in an instant. The Lord said to me why we want it in an instant. If God does it in an instant, we don't have to exercise patience to receive it. If you don't exercise patience, there's no perfection going on. And we've been raised to be a culture of consumer Christians that are looking for the quick answer. And we've had no limit of authors that write books that seem like within the books is the quick answer we was looking for. So we become a cultural consumer Christian. And when God doesn't do what you're asking him to do, three things happen. One, you begin to doubt God. Two, you begin to doubt you. And three, you begin to doubt whether you really need what you're asking for. The first one is dangerous. Doubting God. See, those who doubt God risk... y'all may have never heard this before, but I'm going to put it out here just the way it is.
Those who doubt God risk eternal damnation.
You know, what you talking about, Willis?
Didn't he say that the faithless and unbelieving would have their...
He won't talk about that.
Hey, nobody want to hear anything about your lack of faith can open the abyss and that can become your abode. And so in that time when God's not moving, one of the first things that happens is you begin to doubt God. I'm here to tell you this morning, never doubt God, no matter how long it may seem that God is taking to do the thing that you're asking for. Because when you move into that region of doubt, you move into the atmosphere where the enemy now controls your destiny. Yeah, doubt is a manipulation of the devil. The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. They that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I got to believe that he is. Well, he's not doing what I need him to do. Don't change your belief. I've been waiting for God to do this. I've been trusting him to do that. And he's not moved. Don't change your belief. The moment you start doubting is the moment you open yourself up to the total manipulation of the enemy. And he only has one destiny for you. That's the abyss. As I was thinking about what the Lord wanted me to talk about this morning, he started showing me the ministries that got 10, 12, 15,000 people in it, and the bright lights and the big stages and the orchestras and all those different things. And he started showing me that they've become the place of entertainment, but they haven't become the place of brokenness. The worship leaders arguing in the back behind the stage before they pray to come out to minister and bring you to a place of praise. No real agreement. So what we've been seeing is churches get bigger, but we haven't been seeing any power. The Lord told me to deal specifically with this church today. Paul said, I come not to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of power. God wants every one of us here to begin to expect the demonstration of power that's supposed to come forth through you and not just you looking to God to manifest his power on you. In other words, I ought to be looking to be an instrument of God's power. But when you're raised as consumer Christians, you're always looking for what God will do for you, and God's always looking for what you'll do for him. So now you got two polar opposites, God and you. You say, well, wait a minute, how did I get to become, I thought I was his son, I thought I was his daughter, how did I get to be a polar opposite to God? God created you for his purpose. Right there. God created you for his purpose. So I have to look at my life in context of whether I'm fulfilling the purpose that God created me for, or am I being persistent in pursuing my own sense of purpose outside of why God created me. Now, here's a bombshell. Most of us haven't read the Word of God enough to know what God created us for. You still trying to figure out whether you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, you know, candlestick maker, Indian chief or whatever. Well, settle it. You're 47 years old. It ain't likely you're going to be a doctor. That was a nice dream you had when you used to dream when you was a kid that sat on the stoop with everybody else and y'all talked about the great things you're going to do one day. Well, that time's passed. But there is something that God has created every one of us for that consumer Christianity has seduced us and made us not see it. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What I'm about to show you is also a reason why God doesn't answer prayer. And when you see this thing, man, it's going to hit you. It's going to hit you right in the face like, wow. First off, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new species. That word creature is the word species. That means the you that exists now is not the you that existed before. You are a total new you. Matter of fact, let me say it this way. He takes you back to an original reality to make you a new you. What do you mean? Well, here's the original reality. The original reality was you were created in God's image and likeness as Adam was. Through sin, you became dark. Your heart became cold. You became insensitive. You became indifferent. And your mind was always set on sin. Matter of fact, you and the devil was buddies. I know, because I was there with you. I was his buddy, too. But when you got born again, you became a new creature, a new species. But the interesting thing is, this new species was who Adam was before sin was. So not new in the mind of God, new to you. You never knew before the new birth what it was like to know God. That term was foreign to you. You was coming home from the club, you was partying, you was hanging out, you wasn't thinking nothing about no God. Then you got born again. And something changed on the inside. What changed was the darkness of your heart, he pulled out according to Ezekiel the prophet, and God gave you a new heart. In other words, you got a heart transplant. And in that heart transplant, you took on a new life, the very life of the Father who gave you the heart. Can I say it this way? His heart became your heart. I hear the Holy Spirit saying, add this. Yes, sir. When he gives you pastors, he doesn't give you the pastor you choose. He gives you the pastor he's ordained for you. Jeremiah said it this way, that he gives you pastors according to his heart. So that means when you're in the midst of the right pastor, you actually have the heart of the Father through that pastor, and that pastor's responsibility is to instruct you so that you would have the knowledge that you would no longer be lacking. Now get a picture of this. He gives you a new heart. And then to affirm the new heart he gave you, he gives you a pastor according to his heart. Amen. Amen. He said, I'm going to make sure you get this. Let me give you my heart through him whom I've given to instruct you. Now, what's supposed to happen? That leader, that pastor, is supposed to give you the knowledge necessary to connect you to the reality of what took place in the new birth and to warn you of sin and its imminent doom when you're not submitted to the truth of God's word. That's what that leader's responsibility is. I'm starting to pay close attention to these preachers that are like seminar preachers, motivational speakers. They ain't talking about sin. They're not talking about hell. And they want to be everybody's spiritual father, everybody's mentor, everybody's life coach. And nobody's getting any deliverance. Y'all with me so far? So you're a new species. You're a new creature. The you that exists now did not exist before. Now, he goes on to say here in verse 17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18, we got to come to grips with. And all things are of God. In other words, you become new, God goes into action. Once he goes into action, the all things now pertaining to you are of God. So now I got to start examining my life in light of God. I can't look at situations and circumstances. I can't look at other people. I can't look at anything other than, okay, God, I'm new and all things are of you. Help me to understand these all things. You know, a lot of people don't spend their time trying to understand these all things that are coming from God concerning you. Oftentimes we're too locked in to our old way of thinking, to our old views. Matter of fact, we usually have the tendency to judge things along the line of our orientation. So if you are oriented wrong, guess what? Your ability to discern and understand is going to be wrong, no matter how spiritual you think you are. I could go as far as to say it this way. Every one of us, for the most part, grew up in some kind of denominational, institutional, or organizational group. And whatever group you grew up in marks your ability to hear God and perceive what he's doing. Do you know it takes time to walk in a new man? It takes time for your mind to be renewed. It takes time for you to grow in the truth. It takes time for you to become converted in the same way that Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan desired to have thee and sift thee as wheat, but fear not, for I have prayed for you. And when thou art converted, well, he couldn't have been talking about born again. Peter believed Jesus, so Peter experienced a new birth. So what was Jesus talking about? Jesus was talking about Peter beginning to think like a kingdom citizen. Jesus was talking about Peter beginning to think like a son. Jesus was beginning was talking to Peter about being able to think according to the reason why Peter existed. He says, when thou art converted, strengthen my brethren. Pastor Cherry made the statement that you don't know God might want to send you to Africa. Guess what? There are fewer missionaries that come from the African-American community than any other group. Know why? We ain't trying to go to Africa. And it ain't because that's where we came from. It's because we don't like discomfort. So give me the Jesus that blesses me, that meets my needs and makes me comfortable, giving me a Cadillac, a Maserati, and a BMW, but don't give me the Jesus that will send me out to the wilderness to sleep under the stars where hyenas about 50 feet away. Thank God. You mean I got to get on a plane? And I got to fly 18 out. No, that ain't God. Praise God. Well, know why you would say it's not God? Your orientation doesn't allow you to see it. See, it doesn't have anything to do with truth. It has to do with your orientation. So if your orientation is, I ain't going. Ain't nobody in my family ever been no missionary. I ain't going to be one today. You can call me a missionary as long as I'm a mother and sit on the first row, but don't tell me to go to some country. You know, some of the mothers in the church, not here, but other places, some of the mothers in the church like being called mother. Oh, mother. Yes, sugar. But then you look at mom's track record, she's the older woman that's not teaching the younger women how to be lovers of their husbands and keepers of their own household, and divorce in the church is at an all-time high. Love being called mother, though. So Paul is saying, these all things now that you have are coming from God. I want you to start observing in your life these all things new, because you've been preoccupied with that which is old, and that which is old has stopped you from seeing that which is new. Do you know whatever your infirmity, your affliction, your sickness, your disease, whatever tragedy or situation that has happened in your life is old? I'm not telling you what I think, I'm telling you what I know. The enemy will try to get you to camp at what's old. He'll try to get you to camp in yesterday. Even if you were successful yesterday, he will try to get you to camp on yesterday's success. In other words, the enemy tried to get you to rest on your laurels. Oh, I remember when I was doing meetings and casting. I remember when. Well, what about yesterday? What about today? Well, what is that? What is that song, Janet Jackson, "What Have You Done For Me Lately"? Can you picture God saying to you, "What have you done for me lately?" So while we're in pursuit of what God will do for us, God's waiting to see if we'll do what he's called us to do. And so in the new birth, you become a new species, a new creation, and all things to you are new. I need to start evaluating those all things new. All right, one of the all things new, write this down if you're taking notes. One of the things, all things new, for me as being a born-again believer, is the kingdom of God. Man, that's new.
Amen.
Oh, my God, that's new. What did we know about any kingdom, anything? All we knew about was the Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses, and we would ride by and wonder why they had no windows in their building, but that's about it. But when you became born again, you came into this thing that we didn't know anything about called the kingdom. Write this verse down, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. You've been transferred out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, that happened when you got born again. You didn't even know it happened. I want you to think about this a minute. You were somewhere praying, asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You was weeping, you were snotting and all that kind of stuff, and you got up off your knees or wherever you was, and you knew, I'm free now. That was the kingdom. That was the kingdom. That was God's governing reign that had now come to relieve you of the pressure that comes with sin.
Amen.
The kingdom. The day you got born again, the first all things new that happened to you outside of receiving a new heart was God's governing reign. You know, the problem is we got saved and went into religion. Y'all heard me talk about it before. There's an undertow. There's an undercurrent called religion. So when you jumped into the river of salvation, you got born again for real, for real. Your heart became new, and God started doing all things new to you. But beneath the surface of the river of salvation you jumped in, there's an undertow, an undercurrent called Baptist. Called Methodist. Called Presbyterian, called Catholic, called Episcopalian. And that undertow, that undercurrent is just as strong today as the first day you ever got sucked into it. A friend of mine had an ordination service yesterday, a bishop, and he invited everybody to come to his ordination service. He was bishop-elect, and he was going to be consecrated in the Episcopal, in the Episcopal tradition. And so I didn't go to the meeting, not intentionally. I actually forgot about it. I might not have gone, but if God told me to go, I would have went in a heartbeat. But the bottom line is this. He posted the pictures. And the pictures showed him in the beanie hat and the robe and the tassel and the gold epaulets and all of that there. And the long cross with the long chain with the cross. And I looked, and so bad I wanted to say to I wanted to write the brother or call him and say, man, we've been talking back and forth. You don't know by now that's not right. That's the undertow. That's where the enemy snatches you away, going after your pride and ego because you want to be seen of men. I love the brother. And he stand here today and say, well, brother, you know, we are all entitled to worship God in the tradition that is comfortable to us, and no man should judge another man's traditions and in the way they've chosen to worship God. Well, on the surface, that sounds intellectually astute. But that's the problem. It's intellectually astute. It's not spiritual reality. So anywhere, the point I'm making, anywhere the enemy seduces you and in religious things, it's the undercurrent, the undertow of religion that is taking you away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Are y'all with me so far? And so he says here, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself. Let's stop right there. Remember I started saying, no matter what you're praying for, no matter what you're believing God to do, you don't doubt God. Why? Here it is. God and I are one. I want you to think about this for a moment. We be so busy in our consumer Christianity trying to get something, we forget we're one with him. We're so busy looking for that breakthrough, that miracle message that's going to be the one that brings me into my destiny, and we forget I and God are one. You understand me? That what God's doing, what God's not doing don't matter. Me and God are one. So I'm with him regardless. I don't know if y'all get this yet. That in the new birth, I and the Father have become one. He used Jesus to reconcile, bring me back. Now you know, my wife does accounting. And I pretty much picked this up from her some time ago. That word reconcile is an accounting term. It means to put back in order. It means to balance the books. It means to make the numbers equal out. Some people are still trying to figure out how God could be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, how three can make one. But that's God's math. I just thought I'd throw that in there. So now, get a picture of this. You and God are one. I want to drill this into your spirit because at times when God's not moving, that doesn't change you and God from being one. It means you got to work on what God's working on. Is it? How could God and I be one? God going that way and I'm going that way. Obedience to the Father is so serious that your life becomes destroyed because of your rebellion. Because y'all won. Y'all are one. I made up my mind, God's my business partner. He's chairman of the board. He called the shots. He'll lead me to the deals. He'll make what I was working on that wasn't working work once he's working on it.
Amen.
Do you see? This is the way it works. Sometimes God's not moving, doing what it is you want him to do, because you're not moving, doing what he wants you to do. Plain and simple. God heal my pain. He says, live beyond it. Are you hearing? Every one of us here, you've got, listen. Every one of you here, you got your demons. I wasn't going to say it that way, but the Lord said, don't mince words. Every one of you here, you got your demons. Whatever it is that you're refusing to yield to allow God to be God, that's that demon that's got you. And so when God wants, when God's going this way, you're going that way, and you're wondering why God's not doing you, but it's because you're not doing God. Oh, Lord. A brother said to me, somebody I'm counseling, he said, man, I've been praying, I've been asking God to give me a love for my wife. I said, God ain't going to do it. And he got the stuttering. God ain't going to do it. Well, why ain't he going to do it? Because love's a choice. Now, you begin to love, you'll experience more love. But until then, love's a choice. So God ain't going to give you more love for your wife. You got to make the choice to love. Lord, just give me, I'm not feeling my husband anymore. Lord, could you please give me more love for my husband? God ain't going to do it. That's a prayer that you won't get an answer. Because he wants you to go the same route he's going. And God is love. Are you understanding this? God's love. And so if you and God are supposed to be one, then you're supposed to love like God, but love is a choice. So he's never going to make you love anyone. This is a part of the all things new. I told you it's the kingdom. See, what was the definition of the kingdom? One person real quick. Yes, sir. That describes three elements of the kingdom. Let me rephrase the question. How does God make his kingdom a reality?
Yes, sir.
That's it. Right there. By ruling in my life. That's how the kingdom is a reality. Yes, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And when I'm submitted to his rule, guess what I walk in? Now I don't have to say to God, God, give me a love for my husband. Well, not me, you know what I'm saying. There's no bent wrists or none of that. Although down in Washington, D.C. right now, just while we're having church, there's a bunch of gay folk having church, and the preacher's preaching like anybody else is preaching and laying hands on folk and all that kind of stuff. The point I'm making is, if God is ruling, then I'm able to love. You see? If God's not ruling, then my emotions are controlling me. If my emotions are controlling me, then I'm in the region of the adversary, because in the region of the adversary, he will manipulate me through my thinking and my emotions. I run around talking about, well, I don't feel like I love her anymore. You see? Well, I don't feel like I should have to go to church because I just don't feel. You see that region of the enemy? He gets to operating in your mind. He gets to operating in your feelings, and he makes your feelings become justifiable to you. But we just said you won with God. If anything, you should say, God, what do you want to do today? What would you have me to do today? I'm right with you. You've made us one. See, here's my point. The undertow of religion doesn't give you the understanding of the oneness that you have with the Father. Because the undertow of religion is still in pursuit of him, but you're supposed to possess him now. He goes on to say here, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Anybody know what that word ministry means? Service. So, I'm one with God now. I'm a new creature, a new species. All things are new, and he's given me something called ministry. Who is Paul talking to? He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church of Corinth. That means you sitting in your pew have ministry given to you right now. Here's the problem. The vast majority of people sitting in the pew don't see themselves as ministers. So all week long, you do nothing for him. Y'all don't mind me talking as the Holy Spirit leads, do you? Do you understand? All week long, it's about you. Matter of fact, somebody call you to go out of your way to meet their need, you cringe because you like your comfort. I'm hearing this in the Holy Ghost. He's up to something here. So the opportunity to minister comes to you, and you murmur and complain in the process because you don't like being discomforted. Does that sound about right to anybody? It's like I work all day, I go do this, I go do that, I'm busy with this, I'm busy with that, and it's all you focused. It's like you're living in a world where it's all about you, and your connection to people must feed you or you cease to exist. So you really don't deal with people unless it's about you. I'm talking to somebody this morning. So the idea of service escapes you. Going out of your way to meet other people's needs with the ministry that God has given you as a part of the new birth escapes you. So all week long, week in and week out. Week in and week out. No track record of meeting anybody else's needs but your own. Is this resonating with anybody? Let me see your hands. I just want to make sure you ain't got any stones in them. Okay. All right. So he's given you the ministry or service of reconciliation. In other words, God has given every member in the pew the responsibility to go out there in the world and bring people back to God. I'm trying to show you why prayers don't get answered. I'm trying to show you why needs go unmet. Trying to show you why that marriage doesn't change. I'm trying to show you why the finances don't increase. Because I'm stuck in a rut wanting God to meet my need, but I'm not meeting his need. And his need is that you would reconcile man back to God. That you would compel men to come in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. That you would be in prayer, beseeching God that souls would be saved. Aren't you seeing the conditions of the world? And I got news for you. You cannot pray that the conditions of the world will be averted because the book of Revelation says that the conditions of the world are just as he said they would be. The only effective prayer is, Lord, use us to deliver as many people as can be delivered before you wrap this thing up. I know people call themselves intercessory prayer warriors, and they're praying against what is already the determinate counsel of God. Well, they got that innocently. They read somebody's book on intercessory prayer, and they said, oh, that's it, that's it. You know, Jeremiah, you know, turn his face to the wall, and this one did this and that, whatever the scenario, Jacob, whoever, and turn his face to the wall, and things change. Listen. You will never change what he's already ended. So my prayer has to be, Lord, use me in the midst of this wickedness to reconcile man back to you so that they don't die and perish. See, we have the Holy Spirit telling me, we have such a concept of us, me. You know, we got book authors. We got two book authors in the room right now. You had to get past you to be able to write what he's writing through you, because if you were stuck in you, you would have never written anything, right? You see? And I'm on the fifth book now, and I can't even look at Vianis, because she, when you going to get the book out? Stay on me, praise God. But you have to get past you to get in that place where the Lord through you can cause what's to be written so that someone 2 years from now can receive what was written so they can become free. Get past you. Well, how about this? How about your life should be the result of the pen of the ready writer? In other words, you're living out what was already written. That I become so trusting. I become so committed. I become so sold out. Ooh, I'm going to say just what I hear, that I become free. See, I was going towards you become so committed, so sold out, that you don't have a care anymore. And the Holy Ghost said, no, tell him, you become so committed, so sold out, that you're free. Don't have a worry. Don't have a care. Don't have an anxiety. You know, on August 17th, we were supposed to be doing this concert, and I wasn't seeing how it was coming together. And I wanted to worry, but he wouldn't allow me to worry. And now I understand why. Because he was already putting together the pieces that are going to fit that. He was waiting for me to have the courage to cancel it. You know, sometimes God will want you to stop something so you can start what he wanted to have started. Oh, yeah. So sometimes he'll want you to change something so that he can now be in it the way he wants to be.
Amen.
The first time I ever did a conference, I had this yellow legal pad. And I was planning the conference with a pencil. I'm writing, and something didn't look right. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, look at your pencil. I looked at it. He said, what do you see on the other side? I said, an eraser. He said, then change it. I said, wow! Because that one exercise taught me that I was in control of what ultimately would come into being, and that I had to have the courage to change what was necessary. Is this resonating with you? Sometimes you can pursue a route that God wants you to change route. Oh, does that mean I didn't hear from him the first time? Let's just say it this way. You needed to hear more clearly. Sometimes you'll attempt things that don't work. That don't mean you don't know God. You still do. So So you'll make decisions, you'll do stuff. Sometimes you'll have faith failures, but don't you fail. Anybody receiving anything out of this? Now, everything I do, everything you do, needs to be connected to that ministry of reconciliation that he's given you.
Amen.
In other words, ask the Lord, this thing I'm doing, will people be reconciled to you? This thing I'm doing, will they come to know you better? This thing I'm doing, can they see you? He says, don't pay attention to that. Verse 19. To wit that God was in Christ, that word to wit means in the same way. In the same way that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto who? Come on, say it like it's talking to you. Committed to who? The what? Oh, so he gives you the service of reconciling man back to God, but he also gives you the word to say. Let me tell you why we don't win souls. We don't win souls because of fear. Well, what am I going to say to them? I don't know what I'm going to say. I never talked to anybody about, hey, oh, I just heard this. And the worst is when you say things like, well, I don't talk about religion and politics. Or my faith is private to me. Well, you know, Betty, I think that religion is personal. Well, you know, I don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers, so you know, what I believe, I believe. What they want to believe, they can believe, and it's all good. Or we'll say things like, well, who am I to judge? Am I right? Do you know the biggest trick that religious leaders put on you was to tell you that you're not the judge? Because guess who don't become judge? The leaders who put that trick on you. God has committed judgment to you. You're responsible for judging matters to discern whether they are true or false. But you can only judge effectively if you're living spiritually. Man, that's a note. Y'all should have wrote that down. If you're not living spiritually, I've got news for you. The devil will manipulate your judgment and make you think you're right when you're wrong. You ever come to a situation and say, you know, I misjudged that matter? Now, oftentimes, you ain't going to tell nobody else. You keep to you. I misjudged that. You ain't going to tell nobody. Spiritual folk who are truly spiritual, God has given them to judge matters. But we're never to judge to condemnation. We're supposed to judge enough to know the truth from the lie and then in love bring the correction. But you know something? Today's consumer Christians don't want correction. Man, I'm fine as long as the brother ain't on me. Is that about right? You know, there you go, always stepping on my toes. You know what that mean? Your toes in the way. What would happen if we were really living spiritually the way the Father would want us to live spiritually? I'm going to tell you what would happen. We would come in here so excited because everybody would have a testimony of what God used you to do. I'd come in, I'd be excited, you know, Anthony, he be like, man, I was out there earlier this week, and I ran into so-and-so, and I started talking to them about Jesus, and they got born again. Man, I had a ball. It was a landslide. And then somebody over here say, yeah, I went and visited the hospital, went and visited a friend, and while I was praying for them, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go to 3 or 4 more hospital rooms. And I went and I started praying, and people started getting free. Somebody else would say, listen, my girlfriend called me on the phone, and I've been talking to her for about 3 weeks, and last week I got fed up. I told her the reason she's in the trouble she's in is because she won't come out of sin. She keeps sleeping with that man. So she called me the other day, and she said, I finally broke up with him. I'm free. These are testimonies. You understand? Testimonies. I was talking to my old Uncle Harold, you know, Weird Harold. Nobody wants to talk to him. Every time he comes to a family reunion, nobody talks to him. Lord spoke to me and said, talk to Weird Harold. And guess what? Weird Harold got born again. Testimony. Paul said, I don't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the power. If we're calling ourselves the kingdom church, we've got to be a church of power. Not coming from the pulpit to you because this is just a performance. I'm talking about when you go home. You don't think I know that some of you think that this is just a performance? That's why you go home and don't do the things I've told you to do? It's the church thing to come and listen to the preacher. But to obey the preacher, that's another thing altogether. That preacher's not walking in my shoes. Does this sound about right? The last thing you're thinking about all week long, as Pastor Leonard said. Am I right about it? Come on. Let me see some transparency here. I won't even look. Just say you're right. And so, consequently, the truths that are given to you aren't freeing you because what you're hearing, you're not mixing with faith. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You've been given the words of reconciliation. God is waiting for you to stretch past your comfort zone to be able to tell somebody you're saved. I'm born again. Now, some of you on your job, it's almost too late to tell them because they didn't see you acting like the devil. Y'all, we've been on those jobs where Miss Jones, who you thought was so spiritual, and then you caught her cussing everybody out, and then she was over here praying for some folks. You start saying, well, wait a minute, that's what this thing is about. I don't want none of that. But here's the big thing. When you, who are supposed to be the image of Christ in the earth, don't have a track record of God using you the way he used Christ, Something's wrong. And I'm not going to call you not saved. But from heaven to earth, the question reigns. Because the new you thinks differently. The new you talks differently. The new you, your focus is on God, and he's the final authority through the word of God concerning everything in your life. The new you. The new you, you use the book to squash arguments. You use the book to be the final authority in everything you say and everything you do. That the word of God now is that new word that's been given to you because previously all you had was the devil's word to go by. And so the new word, the word you got now says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. It says, while we look not at the things which were seen, but the things which were unseen. I got to tell you what this means and just not let it hang out there. But we look at that which is eternal. What Paul was saying was no matter what you're going through, you're not supposed to be looking at that. That's what he was saying. He was saying everything you're facing in the service of God as Supreme King, none of that you're supposed to be looking at because none of that really matters in comparison to who he is in you and what he's called you to do. Now, I don't know if you're getting this, but my assignment is to tell you this morning that the you settled for is not the you he created. You don't discover the true you until you're sold out. And you're not sold out because you say you are. You're sold out because you show you are. Are you receiving this? I'm going to take about 3 minutes and now give you the first scripture that I was planning to give you when I started. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Last week we started talking about prayer, right? And we talked about consistent prayer. We talked about the unjust judge and how the woman came before the unjust judge and she came before him continually until the judge became weary and said, all right, I will avenge her of her adversaries, right? And that Jesus used that as a teaching to show that sometimes you got to keep praying, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't faint. Keep coming. That your continual coming does not mean you lack faith. It means your faith shows who you're believing the answer from. Right? We talked about that last week. I want you to look at this. In verse 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Today, the church is being destroyed from within because we've made the church the marketplace it was never intended to be. I'm not coming against anybody that's selling me books and whatnot. Praise God. You know, I'll be standing here one day saying, and you could buy this one because such and so and so. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when you make the church such a marketplace that the people in the pew are no longer saints, but they're consumers for your products. That you're measuring the attendance by the amount of money you want to come in. And let me say it this way. We did a meeting in 2008, had Ty Tribbett, had Miles Monroe, Cindy Trim, what's that girl's name? Paula White, and a couple of other ones. And the sister that's on, the sister of the other color that's on national television, came to the meeting with her books. Ty Tribbett had just finished preaching. A lot of people came to hear and see Ty Tribbett. So when he finished preaching, you know what people do. Their favorite preacher leaves, the people leave. We got to stop that foolishness too. But anyway, so people are leaving, and she's coming in, and she sees this exodus going out. And she says to one of the attendants in the lobby, where are the people going? I've got all of these books. What was she really saying? Where are my customers going for my product? I got all these books to sell, and they're leaving. I brought all this product with me. And, of course, somebody brought that news to me, but that's the way the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit will show you the hearts of men. Write it down. The Holy Spirit will show you the hearts of men. She's only concerned about selling the books. So whatever she preached, it would be aimed at the marketing of her materials so that she could leave having no product to go back with. That thing came up out of her, I think, before she knew what she was saying. In that same meeting, there was Cindy Trim was preaching in a morning session, and one of the people that hang out with her was conspiring. And I'm not labeling Cindy Trim with this. So, Cindy, if you ever hear this recording, I ain't labeling you with this. But one of the people that was with her, that didn't travel with her but was local in this city, was conspiring to manipulate the offering. And the Holy Spirit showed it to me. You say, what do you mean conspiring to manipulate the offering? She got money in her hand, and she was looking around to see what would be the right timing to put money down so that others would follow her doing the same. And the Holy Spirit let me see it. And so just as she was about to go into her act, I said, no. And she looked at me, said, no. And then later I said to her, I said, the Holy Spirit said that you were setting up to create an artificial flow. Are y'all hearing me this morning? See, I'm trying to get you to the place where you live above consumer Christianity so that you can live as a son. When you're living as a son, when you're living as a daughter, when you're living as who God called you to be, you'll see stuff. It's a part of the all things new to you. It's another realm. It's another dimension. You begin to see beyond the seen, and you see in the unseen. That's so much so that sometimes you'll see the heart motives of men. And so I stopped her. Why? She was about to make merchandise of the people. Now, I'm not against, listen, somebody, you know, Lord speak to your heart, and you start dropping money here, I ain't mad at you. I've been trying to figure out why it's been taking so long for you to do it. But beyond that, I ain't mad at you, praise God. And I ain't mad at anybody else. But you got to know when it's pure. Are you receiving this today? When it's pure, the Holy Spirit is all over it. When it's pure, needs are being met. People are being set free. It's not consumer Christians. It's people who are sold out to their God who is King. It's people responding to the truth of the Word. When that happens, you'll find checks being written for $1,000, $10,000, $5,000, and you're looking and saying, why is it being written like that? People are responding to the truth of the Word. Different relationship. And so here, Jesus goes into the temple. He turns over the tables of the money changers. He says, and when the verse 13, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. If the only thing you mean to me is how much money you have, then I've become a thief. There are some churches you got to turn over your financial records. Oh, yeah. They want to know what you're bringing in so they can count your tithe for them. There are churches that charge dues as though it's a fraternity or a sorority. That if you don't pay your dues, then you are looked down on as not following the leadership or the authority of that particular church. It's a den of thieves. You know, Sister Debbie Landy, about 2 weeks ago, I was teaching on the God kind of life. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not, but to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. She directed me to the earlier part of the verse that talks about thieves, wolves, and robbers. And so when it says, the thief cometh not, but to kill, steal, and destroy, she said, I'm thinking that that might mean pastors who are hirelings. I said, well, you know, I'm going to have to go back and look at that. And as I looked at it, she's right. That there are pastors, there are leaders who are hirelings that are thieves who come to steal, kill, and destroy. So we use it in terms of Satan. We use it in terms of the devil. But Jesus was using it in terms of leaders. That's part of what Jesus is talking about here. He says, you've turned my house into a den of thieves. Man, some of you here, you probably have as many tapes as I've had. There was a time I had trash bags full of tapes. I was buying everything to try to build my faith. The ABCs of faith, 6 steps to faith, 2 keys of faith, how to walk in the dimension of faith, what faith is. A consumer Christian. You ought to be able to go to the Word, get the answer that you need, and realize that you and God are one, and then become sold out to the truth that you find, and spend the rest of your life in the ministry and Word of reconciliation. That before you have a need, God meets it. I'm done. That's how that works. I get so consumed in obeying Him that before I even have a need, He don't matter. Before I petition Him, it's already answered. And if I need to petition Him continually, I'm still on good ground because my continual petitioning only shows Him I'm trusting Him as my source regardless to what I see. So there's some things you can't pray for. He's not going to give you more love for your wife until you love your wife more. He's not going to give you more love for your husband until you love your husband more. Don't be sending $20 and $50 with a prayer request. Please pray for me that I might love my husband more. You send that money to a prophet and say, I saw in the spirit realm you're about to go through a separation, and God wants you to be strong against that season. Remember, people minister according to their orientation. Guess what? They prophesy according to their orientation. So it ain't always God. Sometimes it's their orientation. You get anything out of this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Be willing to make the adjustments necessary. Amen. Amen. And everything you get involved in that don't work don't mean it's a faith mistake. It means make the adjustment. You might have to do something differently. This is the first time in my life most of the calls I get are connected to the real estate business. I had a guy, Dominic, he called me the other day, said, I've got $500,000 cash. I said to myself, I didn't say that to him, but I said to myself, he talking to the right one. What are they looking for? Deals. Well, what did I do? I positioned myself. Why could I position myself? Because I'm sold out to the assignment the Father has given me. Pastor Cherry said something so key this morning. He said, you're not wealthy not because of God. He says, because of you. Jesus said it this way, he that reapeth. So get to work, saints. He that reapeth receiveth wages. In other words, God wants to pay you to work for him. Tony Hiker, do what you're doing, but do more of it. And don't even make it a struggle to do it. Do it if I said this last week right before y'all got here. I said, Tony and Hiker, and y'all came in later, but I was talking about y'all before y'all came in. Should have been able to pick it up in the air. But anyway, no. I said, Tony and Hiker, they have the call of evangelists. That they're evangelists. They're not saints that evangelize. There's a difference. Their calling is evangelists. Well, God's assignment, his commitment to you, is that as you're faithful working for him, he that reapeth, which means the two of you, will receive wages in exchange for what you do. So don't stop doing it. Don't stop doing it. He'll open up doors of favor. He'll open up doors of opportunity. He will do stuff to put you in the right place to tell the world about him because it's your assignment. Everybody's not called to be an evangelist, although we're all called to evangelize. It's their assignment. Yes, sir.
Meaning that you do it because you know God.
That's it. That the calling of God is on your life to reconcile man back to God. So you, if you did any other thing, you would not be doing what he created you for. Now, a bunch of all the rest of us, you're supposed to be doing the ministry of reconciliation in that you live your life reconciling people back to God, and you'll never, ever be called an evangelist. You simply do the work of an evangelist, but others have the gift. You see the difference? That's why I said to you last week, it's why the devil fights y'all so hard, because your assignment brings people back to God. By assignment. We had the responsibility and we squirted. We skirted. We skirted, but it's your assignment. So y'all keep doing it. And when nobody's with you, you keep doing it. You keep doing it. You don't quit. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Woo. Hallelujah. Can y'all tell I'm trying to land this plane? Hallelujah. Y'all blessed today. Amen. Amen. Real quick, what'd you get out of this? I'll give you a second to think. Yes. You're going to have a better week next week. Amen. Anybody else? What'd you get out of this? What'd you learn? Yes. Not to doubt. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Matter of fact, I just caught something from that. When it doesn't look like he's moving, he's always moving in me, both to will and do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? What you get? One or two more. Yes. Whoo! You can only judge effectively if you're living spiritually. Yes. Woo. And that spiritual living means you've got the beam out of your own eye so you can see the speck that's in your brother's eye. When I started studying judgment, when people, judge not, lest you be judged. You know, people get on you when you seem to be like the one judging everybody. But when I studied it, it said, pull the beam out of your own eye first so you could take the speck out of your brother's eye. What I found out was the brother just got a speck, but he's so happy with the speck, he's talking about, don't judge my speck. No, God wants us to be before him without spot, wrinkle, or speck. How's that? Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Yes. Did y'all get that? Seek, be, and do, and stop trying to do what God hasn't placed you to do. I can't wait till next week. Praise God. Amen. Which reminds me, Monday and Tuesday, no school. All right? So y'all can chill, summertime thing, kind of thing. Relax and whatnot, and I'll see you next Monday and Tuesday. Don't look so sad. I looked at Robert Hill. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it dropped in my spirit this morning. Because we're planning on spending some time away. We may not leave Monday or Tuesday, but when it dropped in my spirit to not do the meeting Monday and Tuesday, I let it stay with me. So enjoy some time, you know, go cook out in the rain or whatever's going to be going on with the weather. But Monday and Tuesday, let me put it this way. Monday and Tuesday, I'm taking off. I can make arrangements for y'all to have the keys. How's that? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. I tell you something. I ain't came nowhere near. Hallelujah. The Lord is telling me that the days are over when you're coming looking for a blessing, and that you're beginning to live out the reality that you are already the blessed of the Lord, that he's made you to be one with him, and nothing to violate that oneness, that your understanding has to be such that no matter what you're going through, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, no matter who said what or who shot John or who did this or who did that, I am one with my Father. I and my Father are one.
Amen.
When you pray, your words count. Amen. When you petition God, they are heard.
Amen.
And sometimes the adversary will try to keep back your answer. But in the meantime, you persevere, living the lifestyle he's called you to live. And when that thing breaks, can you picture the angel bringing the answer and saying, be honest, when you set yourself to pray, God heard you. Our Father heard you. But the enemy tried to get in between you and the answer. But I kicked his tail. Here's the answer you've been waiting for. See, consumer Christianity said, because I want it right now. God, I'm hurting. Heal me right now. God says, I am healing you in that place where you trust me beyond what you feel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hombre, there's certain people that come in your life that you just know they're supposed to walk with you, supposed to talk with you, supposed to fellowship, supposed to be available, supposed to keep growing and growing and growing, because God has already made them giants.
And there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them. But you had to train them and you had to equip them to walk and talk with you and be by your side. And when situations and circumstances are going on, instead of them being by themselves and internalizing that thing, they instead choose to bring themselves out in the open so that they can keep walking in the fullness of the truth. Come on, Larry, you're supposed to be over here too. Paul told Timothy to commit to faithful men who would be able to teach others also. In our consumer Christianity, we're not concerned about committing to faithful men. We're just happy they show up, praise God, we preach, we go home, that's the end of the story. But what the Lord is looking for are some men who are hungry to not only hear the truth, but walk in the truth, to be transformed by the truth that they're walking in. Because that's where the freedom comes from. That's where the freedom comes from. That's where the healing comes from. That's where the deliverance comes from. That's where the wholeness comes from. That's where the soundness comes from. That's where you're freed of demons. You're freed of evil spirits. You're freed of oppression. You're freed of the lies of the enemy. You're free of everything that tries to destroy you because you link up with the right people who are speaking the right thing, who are living the right way, who are doing the right thing, who refuse to compromise for the truth that is given. He says, commit the faithful men who are able to teach others also. Every man of us that are part of this ministry ought to be able to teach in the same way that I'm teaching. Everybody here ought to have a testimony on the inside of you that you want the world to know that Jesus has made you free. Every man here, your attitude should be that if I'm home and I'm bound by the enemy, I refuse to stay bound because that's not the image that God has created me in, but he's created me in the image of himself. He's made me to be like him. I don't want anything in my life that will keep me from being like my God.
Amen. Amen.
Every man here. Everyone here.
Amen.
And I'm supposed to be able to commit to faithful men who are able to teach others also.
Yes.
Faithful men who are moved by the truth of God's word and not moved by what you're going through and your situations and circumstances. Faithful men that grow in a love for God. Start hearing the truth. Move to God. Faithful men. Holy Spirit, let me know that the devil don't want you here. And when you're home, he don't want you living off of what I teach.
That's right.
Now, you women too, if I'm talking to the men for a moment, your growth, your maturity comes from recognizing how miraculous God has put you in a place.
Man.
Brought you out from the undertow, the undercurrent of religion, and put you on top again.
Amen.
Gotta embrace it. Gotta embrace it. Gotta have the attitude, my purpose ain't done. I may be retired, but I'm refired.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, develop that attitude. Anything in me that's not like God, I got to be free.
Mm-hmm,
I got to be free. I don't care if it's nicotine, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whatever it is, whether it's worry, anxiety, frustration, mm-hmm. care, yeah. Whatever it is, if it grips you, it ain't him.
Amen.
So God wants you to be free. Hallelujah. 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 Man, so good to see you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Listen, you brothers, y'all make sure y'all stay connected with Mr. King. Keep him going. Keep him going in the right direction. Keep him hearing the truth. Love up on him. Hang out with him. Say, come on, man, let's go hang. Now, don't y'all come and hang out with Daniel Girl. But, come on, let's hang out together. We need each other. We need each other. Call Larry. Love him. Give him his work. Larry, what you doing? Call Tony. Tony, what's up, man? Alma and I just called to see how you doing. Keep people walking in the straight and narrow. Bible says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. So if any of you brothers walking the straight gate and narrow way, hook up with a brother that the enemy keeps trying to work against so you can keep him in that straight gate and that narrow way.
That's all right.
Amen. I love high school. I say something, that'll probably grow up to be a university one day. I may not be the praise God. They keep doing that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we bless you this morning. Oh, we bless you, Father.
Yes.
We bless you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Father. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord. We say, Father, forgive us for not being ministers of reconciliation. Forgive us for having the word and not using it. Forgive us, Lord, for you having gotten us born again, but not living according to the all things new. Forgive us, Lord, for not living from the inward man, the hidden man of the heart that knows the truth. And we thank you, Lord, for the deliverance that you give us in every area of our lives. We bless you today. I speak to every sick body in the name of Jesus. Every infirmity, every affliction, and I speak to it now, and I command you to be made every whit whole. In Jesus' name. Cancer, arthritis, every sickness, every disease that could be named, there's a name above every name, the name of Jesus, and we declare the name of Jesus over every sickness, over every disease, over every infirmity, over every affliction, and we say, be thou made whole. We come against emotional pain and anxiety and frustration, and we come against the demons that try to destroy the people of God, that we command you to go from them. Come on, say this with me. Father, I thank you for the word of the kingdom and the truth of your power. No demon spirit can control me, take me over, or defeat me, because greater is you that's in me than he that is in the world. Satan, I serve you notice. You have no more power over me. In Jesus' name. I think the thoughts of God. I have the mind of Christ. I know his thoughts.
His intent
and his purpose. Christ has been made wisdom unto me. I receive downloads of wisdom from heaven that I can walk in the fullness of all God ordained for me to be. Satan, I serve you notice. I no longer live in fear.
I no longer live in worry.
I no longer live in doubt.
I no longer live in anxiety.
I trust God,
who is my Father
and my King.
And
I you, dear God.
And I thank you, dear God.
Because I believe.
Because I believe.
There's nothing impossible to me.
There's nothing impossible to me.
And because I believe.
And because I believe.
I have the freedom.
I have the freedom.
The liberty.
The liberty.
To serve you.
To
walk uprightly before you, and to experience every good thing that you have purposed for me. I'll not live another day without a right identity. I am your child.
You are my father.
I am your citizen.
You are my king.
I am your ambassador.
I am your ambassador.
And I'm submitted to your government. Thank you for the truth, O God.
Thank you for the truth, O God.
That makes me free.
That makes me free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now just worship again. Just worship again. It has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with truth. Just worship the King. Just thank you, God. Your past is yesterday, whatever yesterday was. He's wants you to walk in the presence of now. He wants you to walk in the fullness of now. He wants you to embrace the truth of now. He wants you to be victorious now. He does not want you held back by the limitations of your thinking. He does not want you held back by how they instructed you. He wants you to move forward to the fullness of his demonstration of his power, because it's the all things new.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are awesome.
You are awesome. Hallelujah. You are awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
call and ask her about me. I ain't saying nothing. she ought to be able to say, that brother, you know, it's so hard to get him upset. He just every time I turn around, he in that book. He in the Word. He on the computer in the Word. And you know, he just all everything just seemed to be about ministry with him. I gotta drag him on vacation to get him a break. Well, that's what we all should be saying about one another. Man. Do you understand? We supposed to be so sold out to this thing, man. Even in our businesses, we never put business in front of ministry. Whenever business is not working, go back and start doing more ministry. Because I'm gonna tell y'all, we got millionaires in this room, but you gotta have the integrity to recognize when business precedes ministry. You gotta bring that thing back into order and make ministry precede business. Then God will do some stuff. Hallelujah. Debbie, glad to see you here. Amen. Praise God. President and CEO of Kingdom Builders Financial. Kingdom Builders Financial. Financial Group. Salespeople around the country. God's still developing it. It's in its embryonic stage. And so you have to recognize where things are. But you got to be like Abraham, and you got to look up and see. Hallelujah. But there's something you hear today, because last night, the last thing I did before I went to bed, I was studying hedge funds. All right, anyway. God bless you all. Come on, say this with me. Satan is defeated.
Darkness is dispelled.
Darkness is dispelled.
Because Jesus is Lord. Amen. God bless you. Y'all know how we do the offering. You just write it out and put it in the basket. Hallelujah. That's all the hand clap God can get.
We have an announcement for September 2nd. Saints of the Most High, citizens of the kingdom, who shall never be called orphans, for your Father is God. Monday, September 2nd, 9204 Lansford Street. Labor Day Fellowship, all are welcome. That's Larry and Odilia's house. Just need you to bring a salad or dessert. That's it? All right, so bring a salad or dessert. The flyers are back there at 2 p.m. They wanted to make sure y'all was awake and up. That means we're going to be rocking until about 1 a.m. Thank you. Thank you very much for doing that. Amen.
Speechless. Oh, man. Thank you for that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, one of the things that, you know, was in my heart was that we need to start telling one another what we're doing out there in ministry.
Yeah.
See,
God knows. God knows.